Mike and I have sort of batted the ball between us regarding who gives the Dharma talk on Saturday when the silent days ended on Friday, theoretically, and the weekend days have begun. So we will both say a few words, and there'll be few because I intentionally put myself first on Jeffrey's list at 4 o'clock, so I know that I'll be getting my shiatsu treatment on time. And we could also say that it's age before beauty. That's why I'm going first. You can wrap up. But I don't want to belittle the value of whatever it is we have to share in these few minutes. Even though Coben told us that words are lies, because no words can ever specifically hit the target. When we do gather to share words, even within a very wordless week like we've enjoyed, they're given sincerely and genuinely, and I'm sure they're taken that way. So in my few minutes, I'd like to maybe bring a bit of closure, another perspective to the opening remarks that we shared back on Monday evening. Coben's acknowledgement that he came here to help us know who we are. In Katagiri Roshi's Returning to Silence that I excerpted with you that evening, he said that it's returning to silence that we might have a chance of knowing who we are, of reaching that unsound that each of us are at our depth. And he said that zazen, if we don't use it as a toy, is a way to touch that vastness. It's not the only way to reach that source. Shouldn't feel that we have an exclusive right to a way to get in touch with that origin. But it's the way that Buddha passed on, and Dogen and the ancestors through them, and that we've met on our path. And so we've dived into zazen as our practice. And Coben and Katagiri particularly emphasize the importance keeping it not a toy. Coben didn't, I don't remember him using that phrase, but when he emphasized over and over again, shikantaza, zazen with no gaining idea, no goals. As we may remember that part of the verses on a faith mind, the Sing Sing Ming says, a foolish man, a wise man strives to know goals, but a foolish man fetters himself to attempting to gain something through the practice of zazen, rather than just doing zazen as Kodo Zawagi would have us do it, with nothing to gain, just zazen for the sake of zazen, useless zazen, he would call it. Sitting quietly, doing nothing, uselessly, all week. But our practice isn't limited to these periods of time that we come together and sit in the zendo, or even to the times we sit in our homes, on our zafus and zabatans. Our practice has to be, and all the ancestors tell us this, ancient and contemporary, that we, quote, practice Zen in our everyday lives. In all of our activities, how do we do that? In that short essay, Returning to Silence, Katagiri repeats at least 6 times, right here, right now. Right here, right now. That's how we do it in our everyday lives. In everything we do, we're right here, we're right now. Coben said that to me in a striking way in the anecdote that I chose to write in the Remembering Coben volume that was produced for his anniversary celebration. When he told me in answer to his question to me, my reply, Peter, there's no soon, it's now, accept it now. Referring to my ambition that my zazen would get better someday. Not soon, Peter, now. Suzuki Roshi gives us a sort of more practical hint as to how we do that. Practice in all our daily activities, when he emphasizes the importance of posture. That the posture we practice moment after moment on our cushions is the posture we practice throughout our daily lives. Awareness of our body. Mind and body presence. It takes a lot of trust. Activity, but we do it anyway. Katagiri said it's beyond human comprehension but we do it anyway. So we don't wait for the next session to renew Koban's challenge to know who we are. We do it right now, right here.
Right now! Right here!
You got it.
Thank you.
I know we practice that for a reason.
I'll get back to you tomorrow on that, okay?
That was good. I was getting lockjaw from that. You had 4 days of silence there. Oh. Should we all exercise?
I can't recount anything. It's all silent. Memory's gone.
It's obviously more than not talking. He refers to it as unsound and refers to it as our original nature in that talk. Unsound, hyphenated, unsound. And returning to silence is returning to our original nature, to our Buddha nature.
Sometimes between the, if you're noticing your breath, sometimes between the end of the exhalation and before the first inhalation, before the inhalation again, there's a little gap. It's really precious, that space.
I remember Copeland telling us to follow that exhalation until you can't follow.
All the way to the end. And as you follow it more to the end, of course, it becomes more and more subtle, so it's actually kind of hard to stay with it because it's very subtle. It's easy to follow your exhalation when it's kind of gross, when it's big, but at the end it's more subtle. But there's that nice gap there that's quiet.
Simon and Garfunkel will talk about the sounds of silence. So is it unsound? Or is it sound?
Unsound. Has two meanings, you know.
They also call it darkness. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Seems like more like light.
Mm-hmm. We're a very talkative bunch, aren't we? Anybody want to say anything?
I think in silence you really start to absorb sound. It's opportunity to be inundated with sound, the sound of the stove creaking, the creek gurgling, people moving, not really listening to it, but it's just becomes part of you.
Or the click of the Joe's ladle this morning.
Yes.
I just love that sound every time everything just sounds. Yeah, I was noticing that too, the contrast. The sound of streaming.
Another one I like is after the scream, just rest.
After.
I have tinnitus. So I live in this ocean of non-silence.
Of non-silence?
Of non-silence. Continuous noise.
Is it like a buzz? A buzz?
Yeah. Oh.
When I shouted, did it hurt?
Yeah, it came through good.
I'm glad I wasn't wearing my hearing aid. The battery went dead, otherwise it would have
woke me up.
I was thinking about the term that you used, Peter, no toys. I guess, I mean, I know it's not your term, but I guess I have trouble with the term a bit because it sounds like those people that do chanting or something like that are, by implication, they're children, or that they're doing something frivolous. I prefer, rather than toys, I'd prefer, say, nothing extra, or something like that. Toys is a little derogatory, actually, to the activity of, say, showing respect, you know, having a form, showing respect, or something like that.
It's too late to tell Uchiyama Roshi, though. He's left us. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could write another edition of Opening the Hand of Thought and change the terminology.
I think he meant something by it. I think he meant the sense of gaining. That's, I mean, as you read that passage about...
Or entertainment. Maybe,
yeah,
or
that it's,
like
it's
that.
Providing something, you know, the, like a toy, it gives you satisfaction, it gives you something.
Some diversion from
yeah.
the activity, the essential activity.
I think that's what he meant. I'm sure he would say sincere practice of chanting. Or
in a certain way, like the fact that this form at all is visible in any particular way, or that there's any distinction between, say, what we do here, zazen or meditation, or our walking, or our mindful eating. The fact that the fact that it's visible as a form is a kind of confession to me, a kind of confession or almost an apology, a kind of confession that there's work in progress, or that there's unfinished business. So strictly speaking, in a very pure way, if we were complete, if the work was complete, then no, there would not be, you could not say there's the form of practice, because that would actually be differentiating between what is not practice, and there is nothing that is not practice in that arrived state. So the fact that we have a form, that we're taking a form together, I mean, a form of zazen, is actually we're kind of saying to ourselves and to each other, mea culpa, I'm sorry, but I have to confess to you, or almost display to you, that I'm unfinished, that there's work in progress, or that I'm sorry, but I need this form. I need to sit with other people, or I need to take a specific form. And I apologize. I, you know, messed up the environment with my form. Mea culpa.
I'd like to get back for you on that one, too. That deserves more time. If it weren't for my treatment, I'd want to do a little Dharma battle on that one.
But I really appreciate all of us apologizing to each other together. Thank you. That we're together here as works in progress, displaying visible form and convening together as a form, as a collective form, going the way. Sometimes with toys. Sometimes without toys. It was nice these days without toys. Thank you.
Once again, I'm a plagiarist. I just copied. I think we're probably, Zazen's supposed to start at 4. I think it's, is it past 4? I don't.
You're not past. You have like 5 minutes.
Okay.
It's 8 minutes. Before.
Thank you.
One question or comment? Just watching the stream rushing by while I'm doing the Han, it seems like that there, in that there's a horrible sense of this is what's real, the rushing, and somehow I'm missing it all.
I would. The first thought that came to me was that you had an insight into the fleeting nature of existence, of impermanence. And you better hurry up. Me too.
Well, since we have a few minutes, I will comment on your and there's just enough time to take the comment. But I think it's all a question of attitude. If we think by coming here and doing this it's something special, then we're making it that way. If it's no different from going to a Giants game or playing poker with my buddies or making love with my ex-wife, it's something I do. And I do all of those. With that, no gaining idea, with the presence. I mean, everything we do, every moment, has to be done that way. I think we can't set this up as different, as special as
even poker. No gaining idea? What do you play for? I couldn't help it. Sorry.
Okay. Poor choice of metaphor.
Beer. Please go on.
I think what Mike brought up is really a critical point of our practice. And just once again, if we keep calling it our practice, then it sort of starts to set it aside. And I think we sort of get into that rut like this is our practice and everything else we do is therefore not our practice, you know. And but I think that, you know, that somewhat cliche thing, Zen in everyday life, emphasizes that every moment is our practice. I mean, and this is a form. It's as much as washing dishes is a form, or sitting on the toilet is a form. That chapter in Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, nothing special. I think has made for decades a very important point. You know, not a must, more than very important, a fundamental point. But yeah. Yeah, Suzuki Roshi said, if I think I'm sitting here doing zazen and my wife's at home sleeping in bed, then I'm not really doing zazen. Because setting this up is something different from sleeping in bed.
The silence is an opportunity to experience that open awareness. Sometimes it gets lost in the busyness of our lives. Really being able to absorb all this beautiful music of sound, sights, smells, sensations. It's nothing special, but in our busy lives, we sometimes aren't able to grasp that. It's right there, but this is an opportunity to grasp it very deeply. Nothing special, though. I agree completely with what you're saying. But I've been coming back for these sesshins for many, many years. Can't miss them.
Good.
But, and yet there is something different. There's a quality of awareness. You can play poker with one type of awareness or another, or a lack of awareness. Right? Isn't the idea a quality of awareness in whatever you're doing? Not that that sounds something special.
Is that a question or a statement?
I think that special quality of awareness makes how you play poker perhaps different than if you were mindlessly playing poker.
That quality of awareness is our practice in everyday life, is the right here, right now. To be present in everything we do, why do we just discriminate between where we bring the quality of awareness?
I was thinking that the tea ceremony this morning was perfectly illustrated in what you said, that the way the tea was prepared and the way the tea was offered, and also the way we received the tea and we drank the tea, was done in silence, and it was done with a kind of quality or care. And it was a form. It was a form, and it was kind of special, actually. But it was, Ed had a deliberate attention to the form that, and a unity to the form that made, a kind of, I would say, an appropriate offering in a correct atmosphere, that, so we all felt refreshed from that. You know?
There is something about a toy which is useless. And talking about the ceremonial tea that Cheryl offered this morning, there's a quality about it that is useless. And so for me, just thinking about Zen almost is Toys R Us. It's like everything we do is useless. Like, I think we should have a sashim, just pure toys. Because there is no, when you play, there's a little postcard on the bulletin board that I think it's Suzuki Roshi who said, what we're doing here is so important, we better not take ourselves too seriously. There's some strange paradox in that. So I've had some similar kind of trouble with no toys, because there is something about play and just hearing the stream as a child would hear it, with no, just playing, just being with it. So I think we should play jacks and checkers. Yeah.